We live to obtain with confidence. That's the title tonight. Live to obtain with confidence. But there's this preacher, and I mean, I've heard criticism over a lot of them, you know. But this one, he's funny. But he's not funny. He'll tell you when I'm not under the anointing, I'm not a funny man. But under the anointing, his name's Jesse Duplantis. But he'll tell you, you know, that he says, that's the anointing on him. That's the anointing on him. Why? Because the body of Christ needs to walk in that joy and be happy, you know, and not so serious all the time about, you know. I mean, we need to be serious about the Word and serious about God and, I mean, but not so caught up in life. We can't sit around and enjoy and laugh. And even, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to take some of these services and they're going to be out of this world in the coming up months. I believe He's just going to move in and people are going to start laughing. And I mean, you're going to record them and you're going to think they're idiots. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, God's taking His people higher. He's taking us into from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Now, in order to go there, it's not up to God. Because God already planned and God already purposed in His heart what He has for us. And as we walk with Him, the main thing that we need after we're born again, of course, is the Word of God, because you can't have faith. The Word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Not any Word. The anointed Word. The Word that is flowing from God to that person at that time. You know, just like you hear a sermon and something jumps out at you and you're like, man, that's a Word and it's time for you. And it's time for me. And then when I lay hold of that Word, then that Word goes in like the Apostle Paul said, His Word works mightily in me. But the Lord spoke to me today. He said, live to obtain. He said, and with confidence. He said, don't just live to survive. He said, you have confidence in me and you live to obtain the good life. What is the good life? It's being whole, spirit, soul, and body. It's being supplied by the one that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, greater than we could think or ask. According to that that works in us, the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you take where Jesus goes and he spits in the dirt and puts mud in the dude's eye and he got healed. Now that's weird. Would you call it weird? I mean, that's off the wall, so to speak, to the world. You know, for God to ask a man, for God to ask a man to go down to a, I've heard of stories where he'd tell them to go down to where a stump was in a field by a river and preach. Nobody there. It's somebody fishing down the creek bank that he didn't even know was fishing, and they give their heart to Jesus. That's weird. But it's not. It's common with God to ask His people to go beyond the natural, go and walk this supernatural life, go and believe the unbelievable, go and meditate on that Word till it becomes a part of you, till it's a living Word that'll cause you and drive you to the destiny that God has called you to be and do, whether it's be healed. I can't help myself. I'm not going to stay sick. I live to obtain with confidence, just like the attack started last Thursday. I'm not shocked that this church, you're being, some of you's being under attack, and some of you's not, and that's okay. God's got you in rest right now. Get in the Word. Get built up. Listen to some preaching. Don't take a time off, you know. Just meditate on the Word. Think about the Lord day in, day out. Be that radical man or woman if it takes it. Be the one that sticks out. Aubrey came to me. I came in last night, and they didn't get to come over to the house last Tuesday night because shingles broke out. It's what they said it was. They didn't test me, but it broke out, you know. And so I didn't want them to come out there because they've never had chicken pox, and you can't get the shingles, but it can break, you know, whatever the case. So anyways, they came out, told them, I told Travis, I said, I think it come this week. I want my grandbabies out there. I don't like to be separated by some junk. Right? That bothers me. And it bothers God. And so I read a little bit up on it, and I shut down my phone, and I said, not me. Not that long of results. Not that. That's not my vision. That's not what's going to happen to me. Statistics. Statistics can say what they want, but my Bible says the same thing that it said back under when I got born again. And he says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. It says, and as they went, they were healed. And it says, and by my faith, I was made whole, healed. And then I found out through my day, just keep being healed. Woo, hallelujah, that's mine. So Aiden, I said, hey, baby. He said, hey, Papa. I said, yeah. I said, y'all got to come out today. I said, that shingles. I said, it stopped y'all from coming last week. I said, but not this week. I said, I got rid of it. He looked at me in my eyes and he said, Papa, how'd you do it? I said, I commanded it in the name of Jesus to loose me and let me go. I commanded it to leave me. I said, and I got rid of it in Jesus' name. He'll never forget that. He's going to remember shingles kept him one night. These kids are paid to come to my house. When they don't, it's just a sad day in paradise for them. I sat down at Ernst's table and I said, I think I'm ready for a fight. How about y'all guys? And I banged on the table a little bit. And Aubrey looked at Aiden. Aiden looked over and he went, She went, no. They don't know what I'm talking about. I feel like I'm ready to rumble. That means get them guns out and we shoot some hiney and everything else. Boy, they're hiding behind the couch. I'm anointed to shoot you. I'm anointed to put that devil, if there was a phone booth, in there dialing 911. Whenever you get on the Word and you stand up, He has to call reinforcements. He can't take you on His own, and He ain't got enough of His demons from that is going to hell to keep you bound in anything. Greater is He that is in us than He that is in this world. So that attack came Thursday. And it sounded like strep, flu, pneumonia. It felt like it. I told Teresa how my throat felt. Yep, that sounds just like strep. And I mean, it got to where I couldn't even swallow water. And I mean, it throbbed up into from my throat right there up into my ears. And so I got up Sunday morning, and I told her, I said, you're going to have to do service. I said, I'm going to hit Monty up, and I thought, he's sleeping, and I thought, I don't care. He's a warrior. If you enlisted in this church, you'd be instant in season out. Right? We're ready all the time. We ain't got to have a month to put a sermon together. You can get up here and the Holy Ghost take over and you don't even know what you're going to do, but you live with confidence that He'll show up. You live to obtain and He'll show up, and that'll be one of the best sermons you ever preached in your life. You'll be like, I don't want to study next week either. Don't do that either. And so she says, oh, we can make it happen. Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought, enjoy the ride, babies. That's what I thought. Y'all enjoy the ride, man. Kind of out of my control. But my confidence was in God that y'all would make it. Y'all here. Y'all ain't skint. Had a good time. A little different. I listened to a little of it. I listened to Monty while I was in the doctor's office. I'm not looking for reason to miss church. I'm not looking for a reason. The Bible says in Luke 9:62, it told me one day, he said, any man having put his hands to the plow and looked back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So ever since I read that, Johnny, I've not looked for a reason to draw back. I'm not interested in surrender to the enemy. I'm interested in surrendering to God, surrendering to Him, surrendering to the Holy Spirit. But see, they're trained in the army. When the general's out there, the commander is out there, he tells them there we will die before we will surrender to the enemy. Because the enemy is going to put you in boot camps. They're going to put you in bondage. They're going to torture you. They're going to kill you. And I would rather die than surrender to the enemy. And he trains them that way. And the Holy Ghost trains us the same way. He trains us to never surrender to fear. Never surrender. Now, he takes this word and he trains us in it. God has not given, you hear sermons, God has not given us spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's just not a good old-timey sermon God's getting to his people. He's building their minds with that word and renewing their heart and writing it upon the tables of their heart. Then when that storm comes, they don't say, oh, my God, what are we going to do? They stand up and say, shingles, this is just my next battle, Mac. I anticipate some more.
Be a new one tomorrow.
I'm going to win it. You going to win it? You going to win. We've already won. We're standing at a place of victory. And Satan's trying to get us to surrender. We're going to walk even higher in the things we don't even know yet that God is going to reveal to us by His Spirit, revelation. So I just stood and taught my grandson at 5. I got rid of it in Jesus' name. I taught him something. But it wasn't that I'm trying to be religious. Bless God, I meant what I said. I did what I said. I walked out what I said, and I meant to pass it on to him. In the name of Jesus. See, when we get born again, we don't just set out. God starts us on a journey that we really don't know. And it's a journey called victory. And I mean, He has a path. I begin to take down the enemies in my marriage. I begin to take down poverty and lack. I didn't even know I was doing it, Johnny. All I knew is I read Psalm 66:12. I caused men to ride over your head. You went through the fire. You went through the water, but I brought you out to an abundant place, a wealthy place, a good place. I read that, and I'm like, that. I want that. Men's rode over my heads. I've been lost. I've been down. I felt cast down. I want what that says, Lord. And then He says, come after me. I'm going to bring you there. That's the way He does every one of us that won't get religious minded, that won't get all caught up in churchism and cliques and, you know, caught up in fear and backing off of our prayer life and fasting and all of that. And if you've never fasted on a regular basis, why not start? Read the Bible about it. Go study it. Faith will come up in you if you'll study that word. I've heard people tell me, well, I mean, I think I'd starve to death. And I look at them and I'm like, well, you're about 45 pounds overweight, I doubt it. It's not a good way to teach it. It'd take me a long time to lose 45 pounds, Mac. Well, I go up there, I go to the doctor. I'm anticipating coming to church. You know, they don't open until 9 o'clock. And so I'm going to be there at 9. Well, I didn't know you got to register online, you know, do all that stuff online. But I had my phone with me. So I waited, got open. She said, oh, no, there's eight ahead of you. And she said, you have to register online. I said, oh, well, I said, how do I do that? Scan this and do it. So I go through there, sit over there, go through all the bits, you know, finally get in there. And then I get in there, and she said, what's your problem? I said, well, I said, I've been having a fever. I said, I've got a shooting pain up in my left ear. And my throat, I can't swallow nothing. I said, and it's really bad sore. She says, okay. And so she goes out, she comes back, and she's got two shots laying there. I thought, yeah, maybe one of them steroids. Shoot me up steroids, man, I'll be feeling good by the time I get back to Bluntsville. Steroids works for me. I'd eat them normal if it didn't kill your kidneys stuff. I'd rather just be healed. There's no side effects of the Word. There's no side effects of the healing power of Jesus and the Word. Amen? There ain't no side effects. It works. It works. Somebody say it works.
Works.
Hallelujah. And I just found out that it keeps on working. Oh, Monty, it just keeps on working. It's like a Timex. Oh, it just takes a ticking, tick, licking, and keeps on ticking. Man, it just healing just keeps going. Hallelujah. Once you start receiving it, it ain't going to stop. Woo, you're going to get up there 85 years old, and they're like, Mac looks better than he has in his 40s. Man, look at him. You're 85 years old, Mac? Yeah, that word works, man. You got to see it. Yeah, not get older. A guy the other day walked over there, and we're doing. I'll finish that story in a minute. Because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I've got a script here, but I'm going to endeavor to be led, Lord. I don't know what we need, but you do. So, Lord, I'm going to look on the inside, and I'm just going to flow with you. I don't like being a traditional, just that tradition. You got a line upon line preach unless he's doing it. If he's doing it, that's what I'm going to do. So I'm up there, and he said, old man, he said, I'm just waiting on Jesus. And I said, well, that's a good thing to be doing, waiting on him. I said, he's coming. He said, yeah, he's coming. He said, don't let him lie to you, though. He said, the golden years. These are not golden years. And he's humped over, you know, and I'm thinking. I started to tell him, you're not my evidence. But I didn't. Because I thought, I don't know where he's been with Jesus. But I've been pretty close to him, and I can't see myself there at no age. See, the world tries to give its evidence. COVID. Oh, here it is, COVID. Well, good. Somebody walked up to me, and I said, I done whipped COVID a couple of times to shake my hand. It's probably on me. I get gas, right? People picks their nose and gets out and pumps their gas. You ain't thought about that? The same little machine, they pick their nose and scratch everywhere and get out and punch their pin code in. You go right in behind them, get you a snack, punch your little pin code with all that stuff on it, and then open your little honey bun up, lick your fingers right after. Is it true or not? I mean, I ain't going around sanitizing me all day long. I lick my fingers after I eat. Yep. I'm not going to walk around in fear over COVID or the devil or lack or poverty or sickness or disease. I'm going to whoop us behunkus. I want to cuss, but I don't cuss no more. I hate it. I hate sickness. I hate to see people sick. I hate to see them not feeling good. I hate it. I hate it, and God hates it. He hates it. That's why he sent the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus, took those, I mean, just imagine him watching his only son tied to a whipping post, and they tore him up till he was unrecognizable. Our Father watched that happen, that we don't have to be sick. Hallelujah. Brings in them two shots. Just had got through listening to Mr. Monty do Sunday school. She comes in. She said, well, I got you a couple of shots. She said, no. Yeah, she brought them in and she laid them down. She said, I got a couple of shots here. She said, I'm going to test you for three different things. She said, I'm going to test you for COVID, strep throat, and pneumonia. And I mean, the instant that I stood up, something popped in my neck. This happened right about the end of Sunday school. Something popped in my neck. And that pain instantly was gone, the shooting up in my ear. It was instantly gone, and I felt something pop in there, like explode in my neck. And then here she comes with the swabs. And so she swabbed around in my throat, then went up in my nose, up there. I think she found my brain a couple of times. They shove that baby deep, man. And then she picks up those shots and she left with them. She come back in there and she had one little shot. I said, what'd I test positive for something? That's just what I asked her. I'm not expecting to. I'm attacked by the enemy. I'm not dumb. This church, some of you's been attacked. Some of you was attacked about a year ago, 6 months ago. Going through. Happened a year and a half ago, too. See, the Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Like some strange thing has happened. When your kids go haywire. Come on, somebody. When half your family gets mad at you about something. when people get their feelings hurt at church and you wish you could have helped them, but you can't. You're doing good, and then some leaves, and then you have to start over and find out, was there something I could have done? No. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that's come on you. Because when that body gets attacked, like some of the leadership gets attacked, then they're going to have to do what the leadership's been doing. Stand your ground, soldier. Fight the good fight of faith. Do what you've been trained to do. Don't lose faith. Don't have your confidence in the doctors other than God. I'm not against going to the doctor. I needed some relief. But my confidence was in the healing's going to work one way or another. So she comes back in there. I mean, she left. And I'm sitting there 20 minutes. I'm about to get upset, Johnny, because now you're done causing me to miss church. Because I was going to drive Mary out and be in service. You know. And I mean, I had this thought, just get up. Go out there and ask them what the problem is up in here. Trying to go to church here, man. I know it's Sunday and y'all got to work, but you know, what's going on out here? And I thought, man, just control yourself. Stay in control, man, you know. And I thought, well, it wouldn't hurt to ask them. So anyhow, she comes on in there, and I said, what's going on? I said, did I test positive? You tested negative for everything. I said, yeah. I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, let me see your throat. God, it's red all in there. And I said, oh, you ain't the one that knows it. I believe I got healed standing there. You hear me? Let God, y'all prayed for me, all that good stuff. I believe I got healed standing right there. In the middle of, they're confused now. So she says, well, we got to give you something. I mean, let me listen to your lungs. Take a deep breath. She said, there's a little wheezing in there. Then let me give you an antibiotic shot. And I said, well, that's fine. That's fine. Just shoot me up. You can't find nothing wrong with me. Just shoot me up. Beam me up, Scotty. Whoo, hallelujah. I got to eat me some supper that night. Hallelujah. Last meal I eat, I went and got me some chicken noodle soup. See if I could drink the juice out of it. Oh, bless God, now I can eat tater chips and dip. Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby. What does the Bible say for me and you in Isaiah 54:17? Anybody know it? No weapons formed against us will prosper. You know what that means? It formed against us, Mac. It formed against me. It forms against you. But if you don't let it, it can't put you in the hospital. It can't keep you out of church very long. Can't keep you from praying for sure. And it can't keep you from fasting. And it can't keep you from confessing the word. It cannot. No weapon formed against us will prosper. He says that's our heritage because we're the servants of the Lord. And our righteousness is of Him. Our right standing to stand against sickness and disease. Our right standing to stand against oppression and depression. Hallelujah. Went out to put that up there, that 1 John. I'll do this first. I'm telling you, God's moving mightily for me every which way I turn. He is for you too. Just notice it. I mean, get aware of it. Look for it. Expect it. Chloe is not going to ever be the same in Jesus' name. I prayed for her today. She come up in my spirit, and I rebuked that foul spirit, whatever it is. But God, she's never going to be the same in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For whosoever is born of God, or is that you? Are you born again? If you ain't, I'm going to get you in this scripture right here before we leave this church. If you're not born again, you're not the whosoever. But if you get born again, then you are a whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. It's, they don't have to cow down to it. They don't have to go with the flow of it. God told me one time I could see myself in a boat, and I'm in a river, and this river is going downstream, and that's the way of the world. That's just letting anything come into their life, hoping they survive. God don't want His people just hoping everything turns out good for us. That's not Christianity. But I could see, and the Lord said, paddle. And I could see myself paddling, you know. But I wasn't moving. But it wasn't going down anymore. And the Lord told me, He said, the harder you paddle, He said, the more you walk with me, He said, the stronger you get. He said, the stronger you get with the paddles. He said, then every stroke will be with power. He said, this is the way you are. You're going upstream. That's why it seems like an uphill battle for you. He said, but there will come a time when you will just be on top, and it will be nothing to walk against the grain. Against the world, against the way of the world. Hallelujah. And you know, I find it easy, pretty easy today. You ain't going to convince me, and you ain't going to convince me that men and men can get married and be okay with God. You ain't going to convince me that women and women can get married and be okay with God. You ain't going to get it in this church, and it ain't going to happen in this church. I'll never ordain anybody of that nature, man or woman. I will not do it, but God, I will not surrender to darkness. I will preach the Bible. I will preach the word. Hallelujah. I will not give in to the way people think. I mean, just like, you know, people's told me before, well, to grow the church, you need to go do this and this. And I would always say, what scripture have you got to base that on? And they would say, well, you need to have car washes and stuff to raise money for the youth. And I would say, what scripture do you have for that? I find in the Bible, He sent them out. He said, don't take no purse, don't take nothing. He told them He'll take care of them. And they come back and ask Him, did you lack anything? They said, Lord, we lacked nothing. I would rather stay in the divine than in the survive. If our kids need to go to Zimbabwe, they're going. In Jesus' name. He'll bring that money in. I went to youth groups out Washington. I'd be like, I'm going to support them. I'm not against it, Mac. Taking the youth out there and getting their way to whatever. Pulled up there, and I thought, I'll let them wash my vehicle, man. I'll give them a good offering, $20 on their little thing, help them out. Well, I washed it, Mac, pulled off over there, got out, and they done one of the worst wash jobs on a vehicle a human could ever do. I walked around that truck. I walked all the way around it. And I looked at the youth pastor. I said, the key's in it. Pull it over and let them wash it. They ain't got nothing yet. Oh, man, don't discourage them. I said, that's discouraging to me that you as a leader would let them rob people. Made them mad, Mac. I was the bad dog of bunch. Like, pastor down, I don't know who he thinks he is. If these youth groups going to wash cars, there ain't going to be no dirt on them when they get done. They going to do it with excellence. You working for Jesus, right? You believe in Jesus, right? That can come out of the fountain of life. Well, is that right or not? Come on, somebody. And the anointing comes on the kids when they do it. When they do it as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. But he says, for whosoever is born of God overcomes, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I set out to. Now, when I tell these stories, don't just think I'm telling stories. I'm telling you my experiences, based on the Bible and my God. And then you take it in your arena. It may not be the same thing I deal with, but he's the same God in your situation as he is mine. But anyways, I set out to get some fertilizer on my grass. Well, I didn't really want to use commercial, but I was going to. And it shot up there real high, And so I told this dude, I said, well, bring me some chicken manure. He was supposed to bring me 6 loads and put on there for, I just want my cows to have plenty of grass, man. And so he didn't ever bring it. I thought, wow. So I called another dude, and his was $200 a load. That'd been $1,200. Called another dude up in Boaz, and, we can bring you something down there. He said, I got a truck to haul 27 ton, he said, but I don't know if you want to pay it or not. And I said, well, how much is it? He said, it's $2,800. I said, I don't think so. I said, thank you, man. So I hung up. So I called this lost guy that I do his garage doors, have for years. He's lost. I told him, I sent him a message, actually. And I said, hey, I called his name. I said, this guy ain't come through with my fertilizer for my field. I said, do you know anybody that I could get to bring me some? Well, instantly my phone rung. I thought, great, didn't want to talk to him. So I get on the phone with him, and he says, don't panic. Just don't panic. He said, I just ain't got time to haul it over there and spread it for you, Scotty. He said, didn't you say you had a dump truck and a spreader? And I said, well, yeah, I do. He said, well, look, my tractor's over there. There's plenty over there. He said, you just go over there. He said, and I'm going to sell it to you for $5 a ton. I said, hot dog. Furnished a tractor and everything, man. And so I was like, oh, man. I said, well, look, I said, I don't really know how much my truck will haul, single, blah, blah, blah. He said, how long's the bed? He said, oh, it ain't going to haul over about 4 ton. And I said, well, okay. He said, we ain't going through all that wet and all that stuff. We ain't going through all that. Like that. And I said, well, I don't want to do you wrong. He said, over some manure? So I hauled me 6 loads, $20 a load. How much is that? 120. I done spread it. Sounds a lot better than 2,800, don't it? He said he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. He give me favor with an unsaved man. Hallelujah. And so, you know what? Yeah, give the Lord some praise. He'll do it for you. Faith is our victory. I believe, God, that I will get some. And things come to discourage you. Things will come to make it look like, what's the use? Travis told me they've been working on things. He said, Dad, do you ever have days where, he said, you know, or maybe not just those words, what's the use? I said, oh, yeah, if I've had it one time, I've had it 20 million. You try to get everything just right in the garage door business, don't work out, Johnny. You're like, what's the use of doing this garage door business? You go to work, you try to be the best one there, and then you get downgraded. What's the use? Or you're a good wife, and you cook supper, and he comes in, he's tired, and he don't appreciate none of it. What's the use? Right? Or the man works and all of that, and she don't even cook. What's the use? Whatever the scenario is, that's the voice of your enemy. That is the voice of your enemy. What is he trying to do? He's trying to get you to get off the wagon. He's trying to get you to back up on your confession, back up on your praying, back up on your fasting, back up on your reading, back up on your stance to have victory. Because he can't do anything with you if you won't do it. He don't have that kind of power. Hallelujah. He don't have it. Give me the James 1. How many knows we as believers are not to go about life hoping that everything will turn out good? That's not biblical. The Bible says faith is the victory. It used to be this song, none of them remembers it at church. Maybe it wasn't at church. But it says, victory, oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory. You know what the devil told me? He said, you can't talk now. Sunday. It hurt to talk, baby. I'm talking about talking was painful. Teresa got strep, and I'm like, it's quiet in here. Whoo, yeah, baby. She say something. And I say, what? What? It wasn't funny. Yeah. Yeah, I go in, it's the quietest I've had at the house in months. Woo, got delivered, Lord. My brethren, count it all joy. Somebody say, count it joy. In these trials that I'm going through, I'm going to count it joy, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm going to count it joy. There's a reason why he says that, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works endurance. But God, I'm telling you, endurance is the character of God. And I mean, when you don't yield and surrender to trial, it's being built. You're not trying to build it. It's being built. Every time that you resist that trial to give into it, the endurance is being built. It's like added and added layers of endurance. Before you know it, you'll be like the Apostle Paul. You'll say, the Holy Ghost said, everywhere I go, I'm going to be in prison. I'm going to be whipped and put in, but none of these things move me. You know, he got converted, and he went over there. He hooked up with the disciples. You didn't hear too much about him until about Acts chapter 15. You know, he got Paul. He was persecuting the church. This was a mean dude, man. I mean, this dude going in congregation like this, taking them out and killing, having them killed. I mean, for real. The dude was a bad dude against the body. He was deceived, thought he was doing good like some of our governments. They deceived. They think they're doing good, but they're contrary to God. So we see it very clear. We pray for them. But you know what? It didn't say nothing too much about the Apostle Paul. But after he got born again, he went, and they're like, no. No, man, we can't accept him. No. I mean, they were scared, man. They were like, nah, he's trying to fool us what he's going to do. Man, we let him in here and he's going to get all of us. And, you know, they were really scared. They were really afraid, you know. And then I believe it was Ananias or whatever. You know, he went in there and he said, nah. He said, I believe he said, hey, he's met the Lord. Barnabas. I believe he went in there and said, nah, man, it's for real. The Lord appeared to me and told me to lay hands on him. And he's real. He's got right with the Lord. I believe Barnabas went and convinced them. They relaxed. And the Bible says he joined himself with the disciples. You know what he was doing? Peter was preaching to him. Peter was reading. Peter was preaching to the Gentiles and stuff at that time. Peter was preaching the gospel. He hooked himself up with the Gentiles. You know what he was doing? Like we're doing right now, being discipled in the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, being equipped and all of that, getting ready for the work that God's got ahead for us. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost pulls him out and sends him out on his first missionary trip by the Holy Spirit. But he said, count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God told me one time, he said, look at the Apostle Paul. He said, look at his life. He said he knew that walking with me was going to be hard. He knew that it was going to be challenging. He knew that he could lose his life. He knew that they tried to kill him and they let him down a wall. They were waiting, watching night and day for the Apostle Paul to come out, and they were going to kill him. And Peter and them let him down a wall, and he left town. He got out of town. They were going to kill him. But the Lord told me, he said, everything that you go through, he said, discount it all joy. He said that I have allowed you to walk in my anointing. I've allowed you to walk with my son. I've allowed you to experience and taste victory in your marriage and all that. He said, don't look at trials as going to destroy you. He said, look at them and they're going to take you somewhere. He said, let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire what? Wanting nothing. You don't like no joy, you got it. Teresa and them, y'all all laughing up in here. I thought, good Lord. Phew. Had me sweating. I wasn't even in here. Had me sweating, you know, and the Lord said, what's your problem? I said, well, I mean, it's just not normally what happens, Lord. He said, well, what's the problem? He said, have you not seen me sweep through churches? He said, have you not seen me sweep through and they fall over like dominoes all at one time? And I said, yes, sir, I have. He said, have you not been in these services where you knew I wasn't there and then I showed up later? He said, yes, sir. I said, yes, sir. I remember some of those times. He said, do you remember what I told you? He said, if you have flesh ruling more than the Spirit in that church, it'll be a flesh-led church. But if the Spirit rules, what that simply means is, if God wants to come in here by His Spirit and lay out half of y'all in the floor and y'all lay there laughing the whole service, I just keep preaching. Let Him do what He wants to do. Now, I just don't think it's funny. You're going to have us all laughing. Don't do that. Because we think that's funny. Because I have been too serious to let the Lord do that. Teresa, she said, hey, you think I could play a song? We could play a song? Had that smile coming through there. I said, you're trying to pull something in on me is what you're trying to do. You're trying to slip something in on me, ain't you? The church tonight. Because she knew Travis, we weren't going to do praise and worship. I said, you're trying to slip something in on me, ain't you? I said, I guess it'll be all right. I said, because this is my priority. I have my Bible and I'm writing down my scripture. I said, this is what I major on. Well, see, there's going to be, I mean, praise and worship leader, he thinks everybody ought to sing all night long, all night. He's anointed to do praise and let's sing all night. And I'm thinking, sit down, praise and worship leader, let's preach all night. I'm majoring in that. Then the gifts of the Spirit operates in different folks. I mean, you know, and so we got to be open to the working of the Holy Spirit anytime He wants to show up in our life. And let Him do what He wants to do. So, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That sounds like a good place to me. Good place. I'm going to tell you right now, I whipped that whatever it was, I whipped it in 3 days. I could have done it quicker. When something farms against you, don't wait a couple of days. Don't just be, because I think to myself, I'm just a pain tolerant. I'm pain tolerant. That's good to think that way. But don't be dumb with it. I should have got right on it. Give me the Hebrews 6, Beth. Now, John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had what? Patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Right there is where a lot of people don't walk in the promises of God. They don't endure. They just, for whatever their reasons are, they could be many reasons. Tired of fighting. What's the use? The enemy. But Abraham patiently endured. What does that mean? You just sit back and say, it's coming. Bless God, it's just a matter of time till this sickness leaves me. Bless God, it's just a matter of time, Lord. I'm in that more than enough, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive it. Say it out of your mouth. Just say, thank you, Lord. According to Mark 11, I have faith in God. And I speak to that mountain and it has to move, bless God. And then say to the Lord, say, Lord, I desire to be in that wealthy place. The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. See, the church waters the word down. Well, you know, you never know what God might do. You never know. What? The Bible's clear. The Bible's real clear. You know what they base it on? Their experience. How they feel. They prayed and God didn't move. Sister Susie prayed for 6 months. And then, what'd she pray? So you got to ask these questions. What did she pray? How did she pray? What did Susie say? Was she saying, God, if you can, wrap your loving arms around me. And Lord, just loose your belt of healing on me. That's not a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is you speak to them shingles and you say you will not manifest what they say that it's going to happen to me. You should have picked somebody that didn't have no faith, shingles. So shingles, since you got a name, shingles, I'm telling you to loose this body and let my body go. It's mine. Just like Samantha, she said, God tell me, shut up. Well, I used to have a problem with the devil. He'd tell me. He knew points in my life that you could get me stirred up quick back before I got saved. So there for a few years he used that garbage on me. What would trigger my flesh, you know? My pastor done a sermon on triggers. And he brought them out, and I realized there was triggers in my life. I didn't know there's triggers in my life. I didn't know Satan had a trigger. I didn't know he could push a button and trigger something. So I'm going down the road one day, and I told somebody about this, a preacher later, well, you ain't got to be that dramatic. I mean, you ain't got to, like, run off the road and get out and tell the devil to get out. You know, that's just kind of dumb, ain't it? I said, well, he got out. I slammed the door and left him on the side of the road. I said, that's the only way I know to use faith on him. I got to see it where I can believe it, and then I can have it. I said, well, I could see that. I could see me sliding off the road and going around opening the door and telling him to get out. I could imagine that. So I did it, and he did. He got out. I never had a problem with that again. Not in my truck. Because I'd be like, You better not get in this truck. I didn't put you out. Well, I got this. When God brought them through the Red Sea, praise God, you know what he said to them? He said, you'll not see your enemies no more from this day hence. He destroyed them. How many knows once you submerged yourself, give yourself to Jesus, all your enemies were defeated in him? The Bible says even if people are against you, he said that if my ways please him, he'll make even my enemies be at peace with me. If my ways please the Lord, he'll make even my enemies be at peace with me. The devil works for me, actually. The guy told me one time, he said, I don't want the devil nowhere around me. I said, man, he brings goodies to us. He tries things, he works things on us, and we jump on Romans 8:28. We know that all things, I said, and he makes blessings come to us with his stupidity. I said, but now if we go around scared of him all the time, I said, oh, he's going to be all up in our business all the time. He's going to keep us busy warring against him all the time. I said, if we keep him under our feet, praise God, and realize that he's under our feet, if he does get out and slide out from under there when you pick your foot up, put him back under there. Well, how do you do that, brother? By faith. I said, if you have to, just reach and slam him on the ground like you would some human. You know, see yourself, slam him on the ground, man, put your foot on his neck and say, devil, you are under my feet. Got it? That sounds stupid, but it's not stupid. It works. I mean, some people don't need to do that, I guess. Maybe it's, I just like to use my imagination. God taught me how to do that. He told me, he said, give her to me. I mean, this woman right here, I love this woman. Now, I want to spank her sometimes. I mean, you can understand that. But it's always been that way. We were put together before we got saved by the Lord. I believe it. I honestly believe it. He knew the destiny where we was going, you know. And I hadn't been saved too long, and I'm a real jealous man, you know. And it's fearful man's what it is. It's fear. It's based in fear. But the Lord, he told me one time, he knew where I was at. He said, give her to me. And I said, Lord, I said, I really didn't want to because I thought he was going to take her away from me, you know, man. Not even God getting her. That's the way I felt, you know. But anyways, he said, close your eyes. He said, see my hands coming down. He said, and put her in my hands. He said, don't take her back. And so I just did it. I shut my eyes and I said, God. And then I read the scripture. I'd read the scripture a few days before that. It says, he's able to keep that which thou commit to him. You commit your kids to him. You commit your finances to him. You commit your life to him. You whatever you commit to him, and don't turn back on him. No matter what it looks like, he'll keep it. And you know what, praise God, I've got to keep her all these years. Praise God, happy man with her, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She keeps me happy. She keeps me happy. Happy man. I have to work the joy of the Lord. All things work together for our good, right? Come on, whatever's trying to take you higher, don't let it destroy you. Turn to the Word. The joy of the Lord's my strength. If I've done it one time, I've done it with 5 million with that woman. Now, she's a good woman, but she's stern and she's firm and she's, you know, a little high-minded sometimes. Not with me, but too much, you know. Little set in her own way, you know. I raised her 13 years old. Thank God we got saved when we did. Whew. So I want to encourage you. You know, you know, we live to obtain with confidence. My pastor put it this way one time, you know. He said, don't never see your circumstance without Jesus in it. He said, never see your battle without involving him. He said, because then, he said, when you do that, you're just on your own. He said, and you'll be defeated in yourself. He said, never see yourself in a battle without him. Know that he's there. He's always with you, always with you. And you'll come out on top. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.